You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad at the music festival in Belfast. Your roots are showing, and I'm sitting across from Neil Callaghan, who goes as Dokaj, and his new single coming out, or the single just released, in fact. And Dean's going to tell me a little about himself, his musical background, and the piece of music and the single that he has just released. Pafacharos.
Come in, Margaret.
As Cundan Corky.
Yeah. Is that Corky way?
So, do you have a rebel passport?
I do, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
So, do you need it to get out or to get in?
It was, you know.
So, Dean, is your musical background, how long, where does it come from?
It definitely comes from my mother's side of the family, anyway, not my dad's.
Right.
But my. So my family are all very musical. My nan's side of the family, so my mother's mother,
right.
They'd all be from Inchigeala.
Okay.
Down in Cork, so they're all a very musical background down there.
And what are the family names going back?
That would be Kearney. So they're all accordion players, and they all like their bit of singing and all that.
Right,
kind of crap.
Right.
Yeah, so all my mother's side of the family would be very musical. Everyone plays some form of instrument or does a bit of singing, or, you know.
So when you got together as a family, as kids, music was, it happened?
Yeah, as much as I love music, it was kind of, it was there.
Yeah.
It was there anyway, whether I liked it or not, music was there. My parents would have been very good for that kind of stuff, you know, kind of putting me out there, you know, getting started when I was younger. I think the first time I was on stage, I think I was 3. It was in Fesh Matthew in Cork. My mom is a speech and drama teacher, and she said, okay, now we go up on stage and we'll say a poem or two. And I think what I did was, I was 3 at the time, I was all ready to go. I got up on stage and I just looked out and I ran straight back off. Bawling, crying, ran from my head.
And can you actually visually remember that?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. It kind of almost, sometimes when I think about it, it's almost a little bit kind of like an out-of-body experience. Like,
yeah.
I'm almost looking at myself from the audience, looking at myself on stage and just seeing myself dart off, you know, that kind of way. But I do remember, because it's quite a specific feeling. When I was up on stage, I was looking out, and it's very hot up on the stage, and there's all the lights are blinding you, and you can't really see the whole audience.
Yeah.
You can just kind of see, you know, a couple of heads.
Oh, now you're saying this at Fesh Matthew.
Yeah, Fesh
where,
Matthew.
Where was that on?
In Cork City.
In a hall?
Yeah,
so it wasn't an outdoor thing?
No, it was like an auditorium.
Okay,
yeah,
so even more intimidating.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're kind of, you can see. So the adjudicator is kind of halfway up the audience,
yeah.
And they're sitting in their kind of at their desk with a light, so you can see their light, and they're kind of looking up at you, and they're like, "Okay, time to go," and I darted off the stage. Now I've done it ever since. To be fair, since then I've gone back every year. I used to do solo verse speaking as when I was younger, but now I do solo singing with own accompaniment.
Okay, Chano style.
No, with a compliment.
Oh, with a compliment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you say solo verse, so that was recitations, as they would say.
Yeah, just all poetry.
Right.
Yeah.
And the poetry in those type of, and there would have been competitions.
Yes.
Would you have had to have drawn from a particular group of poets, ideally?
So, you would register to, would say, go to Fesh Matthew and perform,
yeah.
But before you would go, you would have the option of 2 poems.
Okay.
So
now, who defined the option? Was that your choice or their choice?
No, it was their choice.
Okay.
So they would give you the option of 2 poems, and you would pick either or.
Okay. So I guess what they're doing is comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges.
Pretty much.
Everyone like had the same 2 choices.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was kind of, you know, who portrayed the poem the best.
Okay. Okay, how'd you get on at that?
Good. I used to fare very well now. it was I did enjoy it. So I'm not sure now, but I came 3rd or 2nd a couple of times, and I had my fair share of winnings in that now, thankfully,
right.
Fortunately, but that was kind of all down to my mother now more than anything.
Right.
But recently enough, then I've placed first in the Moffat Perpetual Cup the last, I think, 4 years in a row.
Okay.
And that's the singing
with the accompaniment.
Own accompaniment, yes.
And for that, is there a... Are you... I guess if we were to look at it in the swimming terminology, is that freestyle, or is it that you have to work from, again, a particular selection?
No, that's freestyle.
Okay. So you can pick what you want.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I can... As long as I'm singing with an instrument playing myself, that's the criteria.
And in that type of an environment, would your own composition gain merit, or are you better, or is it? Would you feel more confident or more comfortable if you were playing something, be it by a John Spillane or Jimmy McCarthy or something?
I'm not sure. Now, I currently haven't played an original piece for that cup yet.
Yeah.
But it's something I think I would love to do this year, because I will be going back. I think it's in March.
Yeah.
So I'd love to play my new song. But I would assume it would be appreciated if I did play my own piece.
Right.
But I don't think it would be the be all and end all, you know.
Yeah.
It's how I would portray any piece.
Okay.
But would I be more comfortable? Possibly. It personally wouldn't. I don't think it would bother me if I was playing a piece of someone else's or my own on a stage like that. I would enjoy it either way. I would love to do it. But it when you are playing music that you have written, it's almost more sentimental to you as the vocalist or the musician when. It's personalized. It's a vulnerability. It's coming from your mind.
Yeah.
And you're portraying it to other people, you know.
So then in that context of writing, would you be a novelist or a biographer?
Ooh.
So are you telling a story about something, or are you talking about what are life experiences and emotions?
Almost a bit of both. Now, my debut single now, Nighttime, it's a song about almost love and heartbreak and void in your life.
Whether it
could be portrayed as someone or something.
Right.
In my piece, I'm speaking from the void of someone and how that is being filled by another.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that I don't talk just about someone or something, or then, you know, I talk about other experiences also.
Right.
But my debut single in particular would be talking about that.
Yeah, so it's an emotional rather than the banks of my own lovely lady.
Yes.
That's what I mean about
it. Yeah.
Right. So, so then how long have you been performing? Other than the time when you ran off stage and they gave you when was your encore?
Yeah, absolutely. So I picked up the ukulele and singing in primary school.
All right.
Yeah. So I started on the ukulele and then I eventually went on to the guitar. But I started to gig when I was maybe 14 or 15.
Okay.
It was just solo, we'll say, guitar and singing. Just locally, you know, playing in a couple of pubs when I was younger. And that was, I loved it. It was very enjoyable. But, you know, it was almost a way to gain experience.
And that was when you were playing for pints?
No, maybe not that age now. I was playing in, you know, playing in kind of the pub scene, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But, I was also doing, you know, like singing competitions and all that kind of all that kind of stuff. I enjoyed it. It was very good. But then I, of course, COVID hit, so all that kind of stopped, and you know, just basically took 2 years off, I suppose. And then back, what are we now? Started 2026. Back in March 2024.
Okay.
I started back then gigging full time.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you say gigging full time, is music your sole livelihood, or is it a case you need to supplement it?
With what I do, I fortunately could have just the music. No, right. I'm still currently in college.
Okay.
And I do work in the college also, doing IT stuff. And
okay.
All that, but that's it's not a necessity.
Yes.
But as every musician would know, like when you are a musician, you do need more than one income.
And of course, in Ireland, uniquely, the government has introduced the artist support program.
Yes.
And I guess because you're still a student, you wouldn't have fallen into the process yet or being able to apply for it.
So that support scheme, to my understanding, is for already established artists.
Yeah, or let's say already functioning.
Yes.
That may not be established.
Maybe not established, but already functioning.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
that they are, would say, they are dependent solely on their
limited income.
Yes, and their own personal music rather than, we'll say, doing cover gigs, for example.
Yeah. So then at this stage, then in your, given that you come from a family where your mother was pushing you on stage at 3 years of age, you weren't being pulled off and told get a real job. You're actually being nurtured and encouraged.
Yeah, absolutely. My parents always wanted me to go to college. That was like finish school, go to college. Now I love school, I love college. It was never something that bothered me doing. But my parents are very encouraging of my music career. Like the first thing my mom said was, I'm in the School of Music in Cork, and she was, go and do the pop music degree. It would absolutely suit you to the ground. And I'm so glad that I did go. It is like I absolutely love it there. And they are very encouraging of me. My dad as well. Like he comes to every gig with me. He helps me put up the gear, take the gear.
He's one of your roadies.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a nice way to have it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, exactly. He'll drive to the gig and then I'll drive home then,
okay,
to put it that way.
I won't ask what he was doing when you were playing.
I certainly wasn't anyway. But yes.
So the single, your debut single, January, hit the airwaves?
January 30th, so,
yeah,
just under 2 weeks to go now.
So it went out there January 30th.
Yeah, absolutely.
And hopefully that it'll get the kind of notice. So in this day and age, when you want to launch something, and when you launched the new single, mm-hmm. You're operating as an independent.
Yes.
So how are you going to make sure or strive to get this as far as field as you can?
A lot of it is, like we're doing now, speaking to you.
Okay.
Putting myself out there.
Okay.
You know, just walking up to people and just saying, my name is Dion. This is my act. And just, it's really kind of, you have to sell yourself to the people in front of you, you know.
Okay, Dion, but then that's a very slow and very narrow marketplace.
Yes.
And the music industry, you're not going to make a living if 20 people know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Given the likes of YouTube, given the likes of other platforms, have you, and I don't use TikTok, so I have no idea how it works. So are you going down that road?
Yes. So my song is out on every platform.
Okay.
It's on, you know, YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, etc. But I do have social media platforms such as Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. So we'll say, in terms of trying to gain traction for my new song, I would, for example, put up a video of me singing it on TikTok or something, you know, and trying to get people just to see just a little snippet of the song that they will click on it and, you know, please go listen to my song, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
One of the things I've noticed is people spend a lot more time looking at reels. On Facebook.
Short form content is absolutely huge at the moment.
Yeah.
So we'll say if I put up a video of me playing my song in its entirety, I think the song is about 2.5 minutes long. You're going to watch the first 10 or 15 seconds and then you're going to click off.
Right.
But if I put, so you will say, I don't know, you're watching 10% of the video.
Yeah.
Whereas if I put up a 15-second clip on the likes of TikTok or Instagram as a reel, there's a much higher chance that you're going to watch those 15 seconds. So I need to get my point across, or the best part of my song across to you in that 15 seconds, that you will watch the whole of the video, and that will, you might give it a like or a comment, and that will boost the algorithm of the video, or the reach of the video, and then hopefully the song.
You mentioned that, you know, you're studying still.
Yes.
So as part of the course in this modern age, is this what we're now talking about, part of the curriculum?
Yeah, it's something that as a young musician or a young songwriter or artist coming up, it's something that you need to be aware of, and it's something that is made aware to us.
Right.
That you do need to have this social media presence, or at least make an effort to having a social media presence, as 90% of people are on social media nowadays, and the majority of people are on every platform, you know, using the likes of Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. So it's kind of like, rather than we'll say me just being on Instagram, I post that video on Instagram, do a bit on TikTok, do a bit on YouTube, and so on, just to broaden my horizon, as you say. Like, I don't want to be in just one source of communication, with just talking to people, etc. Like, I don't want to go down a narrow route. You really have to be quite broad.
So here at Your Roots, Rishom, what are you hoping you'll get out of it?
Visibility. Okay. I think is the word I'm looking for. So I think when you are, it's all about meeting the right people, being in the right place at the right time. Like, we'll say, for example, if I go to this conference you were showing, and I go for 1 year, I might meet five or six people that I really wanted to meet, and one of those might click on my video.
Yeah.
But then if I'm here every day, and it's just about meeting the right people, and just communicating, meeting like-minded people is what I was hoping to do.
Given the size of the country, there is a wealth of talent.
Yeah.
And some of it has really got fantastic international recognition, and coming out of the Cork School of Music, including Mick Flannery.
Yes.
You know that I you're in a noisy space, and I say that in the nicest way, that it's such a rich, noisy space. Does that present a challenge to you?
Yes, it does. As we'll say, there is so many talented people coming from Cork, coming from the School of Music, and just Ireland in general. But it also, on the other hand, we'll say, when you do see people that are Irish people going abroad, going into Europe, America, etc., and them doing well, it also gives you a sense of hope.
Yes.
So, of course, it's going to be difficult, as there is so much talent coming from Ireland, that you have to, I suppose, try your best to set yourself apart in a little way, shape or form, just to make yourself recognisable. But it does also, we'll say, as this is my debut single that has just released, I am an independent artist, I'm young, it gives me that drive to think that there is a possibility that I could make it into Europe, or I could go touring in America and other places around the world. So it is a positive thing as much.
So what separates you from the rest of them?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, you do need to define yourself to separate yourself.
100%.
So what's your hook?
So I, as much as I strive on, we'll say, my music, it's also how you sell yourself as a person as well as an artist. So my artistry as a whole. So I I would stand by my music and being that little bit different. And, you know, I play in different tunings, for example, like this new song is, now it is a, almost, it's a folk pop would be would be my genre. But if you were to say, like, a pop song, like, there's not many pop songs that are played in Dadgad. That's the tuning that my guitar is playing, which is quite a deep sound because it's in D for the guitar players out there. But I like to have, would say, different chord progressions, something a little bit different. As you'd hear in the chorus that there's the progression of my chorus at the end of the song. It's a little bit, it's weird, but in a pleasing way. So it's, you know, those kind of little bits. Right. And in my lyrics, try to have it a little bit different to the next person, a bit deeper and something that you can resonate with.
Right.
But also as a person in my artistry, I, you know, try to be polite, try to be nice and bubbly, try to talk to everyone that I can and be, you know, be pleasing. Like.
Maybe it's time we shared nighttime with the listener.
Absolutely.
Dale O'Callaghan, Grameen Amin O'Magan.
Father of.